Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Final!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM. And 7:50 a.m. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini. Always happy to be with you here on the afternoon drive, and happy Halloween. It's Halloween. I'm sure there are plenty of adults dressed up in costume. I go on a rant on that every year this day, so I'm going to save it this year because my daughter has coaxed me into dressing up this year, so I guess I'm one of you. And by one of you, I'm talking about the adults that love to dress up on this day. Let's talk sports. That's what we're here for, right? To talk sports, forget Halloween. How about this? This was breaking news early today. The New England Patriots have traded Jamie Collins to the Cleveland Browns for a draft pick. Somewhat shocked by this. So far this season, Collins has accumulated 43 tackles, 2 interceptions, and 1 forced fumble. Not his best season. Apparently, the Patriots don't believe this guy is a number one linebacker. And it's the Patriots' way to trade individuals that we believe still have some worth. The trade is for a third-round compensatory pick if the Browns get one. Now, if the Browns do not get that pick from the league, the trade will be for a fourth-round pick. In the end, New England, again, making football-related decisions. Here's the quote from Bill Belichick. In the end, we did what we thought was best for the football team. There are a lot of things to take into consideration. I'm sure we could bring up a lot of points to talk about, but in the end, that's really the bottom line. Collins, 4-year rookie contract expires after this season, and he was at one point asking for what a league source has said, Von Miller-type money. He's not worth that. He's not worth that at all. And this is the New England Patriot way. If they don't believe, they're always looking for bargains. And if they don't believe you're worth what you're asking, they are not going to overpay. And here's what New England does such a good job of. They find a way to get something in return when they know they have no desire to bring back a player, or when they feel he's not following the Patriot way. When you were successful for 15-plus seasons, you don't have to overpay for talent. You have guys taking pay cuts to come play for you. I mean, look at some of the contracts that you've recently seen in the NFL. First off, Ndamukong Suh. His contract with the Miami Dolphins. Is Sue worth what the Dolphins gave him? No, not even close. Not even close. But I understand why the Dolphins did it. They gave him a 6-year, $114 million deal. And I don't have all the ins and outs as far as guaranteed money and all that. I just know they gave a defensive tackle $114 million. How can you justify that? You're a team that's trying to create some sort of excitement to attract other free agents. When you're as bad as the Dolphins have been, you make a move like that. And I'm just using the Dolphins as an example. There are several other teams. The Redskins are famous for that. Give guys huge contracts. They just did it with Josh Norman. You give guys huge contracts in hopes to create excitement to lure other free agents. The Patriots don't have to do that. They got such a well-oiled machine. Again, the Patriots and the Spurs, those are your two model franchises between basketball and football, the two sports that we talk most on this show. If you don't fit what Bill Belichick or what Robert Kraft have envisioned, they'll ship you out. They don't care. They did it with Randy Moss. Remember that trade, Randy Moss and the Vikings? Well, the Patriots got a steal. I think they got like a third-round pick out of Randy Moss. They're getting a fourth-round pick out of Jamie Collins. They recently acquired Kyle Van Noy for like a 6th-round pick and Barkevious Mingo for a 7th. Those are two guys that were drafted in the first and second round. It's the Patriot way. I don't question this move at all. I think Jamie Collins can play, but this is a very New England Patriot type deal. They will not miss a beat, I guarantee it. Let's jump. Let's talk NBA. The Oklahoma City Thunder are locking up their young core. They have agreed to a four-year extension with Victor Oladipo worth $84 million. ESPN first broke this story earlier today. An extension with Steven Adams is nearly done, expected to be completed before the deadline tonight, which is set for midnight. That's according to some sources. Andre Robertson is also in extension talks right now. Oladipo was 24 years old. He went to Oklahoma City on draft night, part of the deal that sent Serge Ibaka to Orlando. Oladipo's averaged about 16-5-5 during his career in the NBA. And the way OKC's playing right now, they're unbeaten because Russell Westbrook is a freak of nature. And I actually thought, had KD returned, that there's a pretty good chance Oklahoma City would have been the team to beat in the Western Conference. I love the Oladipo move. Another year with Steven Adams. Again, we talked Andre Robertson. I thought that Oklahoma City did everything right this offseason, except, of course, losing Kevin Durant. That was the big thing. Victor Oladipo, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. He's now locked up. He's a Thunder for the foreseeable future. Let's stick with the NBA, and we'll take a look at the schedule tonight. The Utah Jazz will have the night off, and that's a good thing. The Jazz need it after that beatdown last night, 85-72. I guess I can't call it a beatdown, but it wasn't the best of showings, to say the least. Five games on tap tonight. Denver at Toronto. We get Chicago at Brooklyn. Sacramento at Atlanta. All of those games in the 5 o'clock hour, and then at 8:30 it'll be Phoenix at the Clippers. That's a quick rundown of what's happening in the national sports front. No Major League Baseball tonight. We have a break in the action. World Series will continue tomorrow. Another opportunity for the Cleveland Indians to claim a World Series championship. But we have to wait just a little bit longer as the series shifts back to Cleveland. Quick rundown of everything that's happening. We're going to pause for just a moment. We do have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this. On the show today, we're going to talk to Coach Vando with the USU Eastern Eagles squad. The season hasn't officially begun, but 2 weekends of scrimmage play under their belts, and this weekend they will travel on the road. They'll go to Casper, Wyoming for 2 games, and then they hit the road to go to Arizona next week for a 4-game road trip. So the season, it is upon us. Coach Vando will talk about that, the new additions to the team. Brand new squad. They have one returner from last year, and they even have a new assistant coach. So Vando's going to join us coming up here in just a bit in the studio. Plus, we'll talk some college football. The Utes lose on Saturday, but they move up one spot after nearly knocking off the Washington Huskies. All that and more coming up here on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM. Reporting from the KOAL 107.3 FM newsroom, I'm Jordan Buscarini with a look at local sports. Friday night, the Emory Spartan football squad suffered a season-ending loss in the opening round of the 3A state tournament as they fell to the 3A South champion Juab Wasps 35-14. Logan Cox finished with 101 yards on the ground, and he reached the end zone, but it was not enough to push the Emory offense that continued to struggle inside the 20-yard line. Aside from Cox, Emory accumulated the majority of their yardage through the air, as Zach Jorgensen completed 8 of 21 passes for 99 yards, 1 touchdown, and 2 interceptions. Juab senior quarterback Riker Osborne finished 8 of 13 through the air for 213 yards and 3 scores to lead the 3A South champions to the semifinals for the second consecutive season, where they will take on Juan Diego. After forcing a 3-and-out defensively on the opening drive of the game, the Spartans marched the ball all the way down to the Juab 10-yard line. After stalling out on consecutive plays, Ethan Winter's 27-yard field goal attempt clanked off the upright to end an efficient drive with no points. Emory's defense again held tight to force a Juab punt, but the offense gave up the first score of the game. With 4:12 remaining in the opening quarter, Jorgensen's pass was intercepted off of a deflection and returned 31 yards by Jakota Snow. From that point on, it was a formality for the Juab Wasps. The final four teams in the 3A classification will duke it out this weekend. Again, Juan Diego will take on Juab, while Morgan will take on Delta. Stay tuned to Castle Country Radio. We'll continue to put the final touches on the 2016 Emory Spartan football season as we catch up with head coach John Famalo later this week. We stick with high school sports, but we move over to volleyball. And on Friday, the Emory Lady Spartans championship hopes came to a close in the second round as they lost a match with Enterprise in straight sets, 25-11, 25-13, and 25-18. Emory advanced to the second round after defeating Layton Christian, the number 2 seed from Region 14. After dropping the first set 25-22, Emory won the next three, 25-17, 25-22, and 25-18. The loss in the second round to Enterprise ended the Lady Spartans championship hopes, and the season came to a close one game later as they suffered the season-ending defeat to North Sevier, who went on to finish 7th place. Congratulations to the Emory Lady Spartans on a very successful 2016 season, which seen them finish 3rd place in Region 15. We move over to the junior college ranks, where this past weekend, the first ever Scenic West Athletic Conference tournament took place, and it was a one-and-done for both USU Eastern soccer squads. The men suffered a loss in the first game, 3-0. The loss came at the hands of Southern Nevada, which marked the 3rd time this season that USU Eastern suffered a loss to the squad. That ends the men's season, and the girls shared a similar fate. They suffered a 1-0 loss to Salt Lake Community College in a game that was highly competitive throughout. USU Eastern ends a 4-game season set with Salt Lake Community College 1-2-1. The women, at one point in time this season, were ranked into the top 20, but failed to pick up a conference tournament victory. We'll catch up with Coach Ammon Bennett, the head coach of both teams, later on this week to recap the 2016 season. You can find more news, sports, and community events at CastleCountryRadio.com. Also, remember to follow the Utah Jazz all season long. The Jazz suffered a loss yesterday on KOAL by a final score of 88-75 to the Los Angeles Clippers. Utah will return to the court tomorrow for a 6:30 p.m. tip-off. Reporting, I'm Jordan Buscarini.
What you listening to?
Big Sports Radio Guy.
Prepare the water cooler, that we may gather around it later and discuss things.
It's time for the Coach's Corner on Drive Time Sports.
Time for the Coach's Corner here on Drive Time Sports. And the fall sports season, it's pretty much over. We still have volleyball at the JUCO level, but that is about it. All of our teams for the fall sports season wrapping it up high school-wise. And now we can start preparing for basketball. Now, already underway, the USU Eastern basketball season. The men's squad, they were at the Jamboree last week. They traveled to Mesa State this past weekend. And so their scrimmage games are out of the way. Now it gets real for them beginning this weekend. Joining us in the studio to talk a bit about that, we have Coach Vando with the USU Eastern Eagles squad. Coach, as always, I appreciate your time.
Well, thank you very much for having me over here, Jordan.
Another season, Coach. I know we've had some great news with you. Everything's worked out with your citizenship. You're here now in the country to stay, which I know has got to be a lot off your mind, a lot off your shoulders, and you know, a lot off of the school's shoulders as well. They now know they have a long-term basketball coach.
Oh yeah, you know that's you said it right. You know, so I just now I'm relaxing. I want to be here for a long time. And I love, you know, this community. I love, you know, the college. The administration has been great for the men's basketball team. Right now, I'm just thinking about basketball. How when we get better, you know, players, you know, moving, you know, our program in the right direction. That's, you know, I'm really very, very appreciate, you know, what, you know, the school being done for me personally, and. Now, like I said, I wanna pay back, and I wanna be here, and I wanna make this team being a winning program for sure.
There have been some changes. Former assistant coach Justin Brown no longer with the team. He has taken a different job back east. Coach Scott Fields, who came in late last year, has been tabbed as your assistant. So a little bit of a different vibe already just off of the bench, a different mentality.
Yes, Coach Scott Fields, you know, he's great. You know, he's a very energetic guy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he was Brandon Sly's dad. And he can bring a lot, you know, for our pro program. He's very knowledge man. You know, he had the opportunity to work a little bit with the Utah Jazz and some other teams he coached, I think, Curry on the mm-hmm. on the like a summer league. You know, he have some NBA experience. He coached around the world too. You know, I think in China, in Venezuela, and you know, he's a like I said, you know, very energetic, very positive guy. You know, like a dad. You know, can help us. You know. That's like I said, me and him, we worked together last year since January, and then we, you know, enjoying each other, working together. I can, you know, give him more responsibility, and then I think, you know, that's the right guy for us. And I think, you know, me and him, we complement each other, I think.
I agree 100%. Now, there are some other changes within this program. First off, we talked about Coach Fields, but we only have one returner from last year's team. That's Alex Morrell. He's in the middle. He's coming back for his sophomore season. Alex is a return missionary, so yeah, he is a very mature big man for you guys in the middle. Outside of that, I mean, a lot of changes. How has it been bringing in essentially 11 or 12 brand new guys into the program?
You know, it's been a big challenge because this year we brought seven international kids, so it's seven different languages and seven different cultures, and it's been a challenge. But you know, but so far, you know, they've been great. They've been working together. They're bond really, really, really well. They like each other on and off the court. And the thing is, like, they've been working hard. You know, they're good group of characters. That for us coaches was the most important. Great in students. They do what, you know, they supposed to do. You don't have to keep checking on them. And on the court, you know, they work very, very hard. You know, they take this as a great opportunity. And then, like you said, we decided to take, you know, these seven international kids plus, you know, a few returning missionaries. So they're like exactly like you said, experienced, mature, great kids, and that, you know, wants to work hard. So right now we went to the Salt Lake Jamboree, and I could see, you know, they working as a team. They really want to win. They have the right mentality, good characters, and they're gonna do, you know, they everything and working very hard to win games.
Again, our guest right now is Coach Vando with the USU Eastern basketball team. Coach, you talked about that Salt Lake Jamboree. You guys also traveled to take on Mesa State in a scrimmage contest this past weekend. So you've got to look at this team so far. What do you think of them early on?
You know, of course, our league, you know, it's still really, really, you know, strong. You know, Salt Lake Community College, they're defending the national championship. They're a really good team. CSI this year, they come really big and athletic. Snow, they have they had some returning missionaries too. They're gonna be good. But like I said, you know, we're gonna be young, very young. We have 12 freshmen. But like I said, you know, they really, really work hard. So we don't have that size that the other teams have, but I think this year we have more shooters, and we have bigs who can run the floor really, really well. So this year we're trying to play. I don't like to compare, but like Golden State Warriors, so we like to push the ball as fast as we can, and you know, if we have a easy basket, you know, we just dump it inside for the bigs and we score, you know, in transition. Or if not, we have, you know, some 3-point shots, because probably this year we have five guys, like, you know, solid, can shoot, you know, flat out, you know, really, really good. And but after that, we're gonna milk the clock and see, you know, what happened. But you know, like I said, I think the kids, you know, on these games, they are trying to do exactly what I tell them to do, and we had success already. So we just need to improve in a little bit, you know, on our offense, but we're moving the ball really good. We're using the screens really good. So we make the other team, you know, play really, you know, tough defense on us.
There are a couple of kids that always get brought up anytime I talk about USU Eastern basketball with an outsider. First off, Cam Bailey. Cam Bailey gets a lot of pub. He's a sophomore coming over from Dixie State. His uncle's Thur Bailey, well-known here in the state of Utah, of course, played for the Utah Jazz. Cam is really built, and I know that there are D1 scouts that are looking at Cam just based off his size.
Well, he's a pretty, you know, like a bull kid, you know. He's 6'8", 225. But the kids really can run the floor, really, really good. Have pretty good fundamentals, great fundamentals inside. But the thing that I like on him, he's one of my team captain. He's very vocal. He's very positive. He's willing to, you know, talk to the young players and pass his experience. But the thing is, you know, it's funny with Cam. It's like he went to. I think he played a half season with Western Wyoming and then went to his mission for 2 years. Came back to his mission, went to Dixie 1 year as a redshirt. So now he's the first year that he's really going to play the whole season. He's going to be interested, but, you know, like I said, he's a mature kid. He knows what he's doing over there. He can help us, you know, in different ways. Like he can bang, you know, inside, but also he's very good. You know, he can pass the ball really well. And like I said, run the floor and score easy baskets in transition.
Let's talk about Quinn Peters. Here's another kid that a lot of people are excited about. He's getting some playing time starting for you out of the backcourt. This kid can shoot.
Well, I'm telling you, he's like right now, he's been great so far. He's very competitive kid, smart, can read the floor really well. He can use the screens really well, can shoot off the dribble, catch and shoot. Very smart and also, you know, he's like a big kid for the point guard. Maybe he's 6'4", but he's pretty strong and can attack the basket as well. But the thing that I like it on him, and he's a type of, you know, the point guard that, you know, you can tell him and say, hey, so now we need you to score a little bit for us, and he can go over there and score. But also he can be that point guard that, you know, involve everybody else. You know, he can really run your team. So he's an unselfish kid, but he knows when he's going to score. And I'm telling you, he can be, you know, if he's been playing the way that we've, you know, been, you know, looking right now, probably he can finish, you know, first team all conference for sure.
Coach, we got to talk about your guys' weekend schedule because you guys have played a couple of scrimmage, but now they start counting. In fact, this weekend they start counting.
Yes, we're going to Casper, Wyoming. And I think Casper is ranked number 23rd in the nation. So that's a good tournament for us. We play Friday against Central Wyoming, and then we play Saturday against Casper. That's a good test for this team. You know, it's a ranked team on their home floor. Like I said, we are hungry for, you know, everybody excited. You know, they think that, you know, we think that we can go over there and win the next two games. It's not easy, you know, when you're going, you know, it's that far and go and play on their home floor and they hold the tournament over there. It's not easy, but it's a good opportunity for them to bound, you know, and get more closer. And like I said, if we can go over there and come back with two wins, it's going to be very, very good for this team.
Oh, absolutely. And then after that, you guys have four games in Arizona, but before you know it, you guys will be playing back at home and conference play will get off and rolling. Coach, it's great to get you in. It's great to talk some college basketball. Thank you again for the time. And I know now we'll catch up with you weekly.
Oh, man, I can't wait. So, like, we're in season again. I love to come over here and talk basketball with you and who's listening to us. You know, I'm very excited. I'm very thrilled. You know, we have a you know, a new group, good kids, good characters, hard workers, and they want to represent the USU Eastern on the right way. That's, you know, for me, that's the biggest motivation for this year.
Absolutely. Can't wait for it. Coach, thank you. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you very much.
That's Coach Vando again of the USU Eastern Eagles basketball squad. We'll have plenty more on this unit as the days continue to tick away before conference play. And, of course, you'll be able to listen to USU Eastern basketball right here on KOAL. We're going to pause for just a moment. We have more coming up. When we return, we'll take a look at the college football top 25 rankings. The Utah Utes lose, but they move up a spot. It's coming up next here on Drive Time Sports.
In 5, 4, 3, 2.
I'm Joe Wade Formicola, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
Real name, no gimmicks.
On 750 AM, KOAL.
So I came to the game. Real name, no gimmicks.
That's why I ain't got no.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 750 AM. We're going to stick with college athletics, but move over to the football field. Saturday, right here on KOAL, the Utah Utes dropping a heartbreaker to the Washington Huskies, 31-24. They did cover the spread. That was such a tough game to call. I really thought Utah had a great chance to win that football game, and they were right there. Obviously, the pollsters were impressed in the AP poll because Utah actually moved up one spot in the coaches' poll. They stayed at number 16, so Utah actually passing Florida State, who dipped to 19. And still ranked below West Virginia and Baylor, two squads that did suffer a loss and dropped out of the top 10 this past week. But we are on the eve of the first college football playoff rankings. Those will be released tomorrow night. We take a look at the AP top 25. I typically like to look at the AP. I think it gives us the best gauge. Typically, it's a little bit closer to what the playoff committee sees. Alabama, number one, they get 60 first place votes. Michigan has one first place vote. Clemson 3, Washington 4. I think that's what it's going to look like once the playoff rankings come out. I don't think there's really any debate because you have four unbeaten squads. The next unbeaten team on the list, you'd have to go all the way down to Western Michigan at 17. I think it's pretty clear cut and dry at this stage. One will be Bama. Maybe two is Clemson. Maybe. I think it'll be Michigan. Three is Clemson. Four is Washington. Out of those four teams, I still think there's a chance Michigan suffers a loss to Ohio State. I still think there's a chance that Clemson suffers a loss this season. I know they got past Florida State by the skin of their teeth. And Washington is going to probably have to play Utah once again in the Pac-12 championship. That's not a give me either. So you look at the first four teams that would be out. Louisville, they got a win. It wasn't necessarily a pretty win, but they got a victory, and they have the Heisman frontrunner in Lamar Jackson. Ohio State is 6. Ridiculous that this team is still number 6. Whatever. They have a chance to beat Michigan, so throw that out. I mean, if Ohio State runs the table, sure, they should probably be in the Final Four. They have their chance when they go up against Michigan. Texas A&M is 7. Wisconsin is 8. Wisconsin, hard-fought win over Nebraska. They are the highest-ranked two-loss squad. They're above Auburn and Oklahoma and Utah. Those are your schools with two losses in the top 16. In the top 20, North Carolina is 18. Florida State with three losses is at number 19. How, I don't know. And Penn State has two losses, and they're at number 20. So that's what the rankings look like as far as the first four in, the first four out, according to the AP Top 25. Nebraska is number 9. They still have a chance. I think Nebraska proved a lot of doubters, including myself, wrong on Saturday. I wasn't sold on this Nebraska team. 23-17 loss to Wisconsin. They get Ohio State this weekend on the road. If Nebraska wins that game, in my mind, they jump past Louisville as far as the one-loss schools. Then after that, Minnesota, Maryland, Iowa. Could be easy for Nebraska to run the table if they can get a win next week, again, or this upcoming weekend, rather, against Ohio State. Florida is now number 10. They climb four spots. Jim McElwain's group suffered a 38-28 loss to Tennessee week four. Since then, they've knocked off Vanderbilt, Mizzou, and Georgia. They get Arkansas on the road this weekend. So those teams still have a legitimate chance of sneaking into the postseason. But let's go back to Saturday and talk about the Utah Utes loss to Washington. obviously, that was a huge game for both teams. I think if Utah gets a win over Washington, they legitimately have a chance to get into the postseason with one loss, assuming that they win out, they go through, and they have some success in the Pac-12 championship. Like, that win would have legitimately given Utah a chance to sneak in. They don't get the win. They fall 31-24. A lot of people are talking about the punt return for Washington, which was the go-ahead score that gave the Huskies the win. Yes, I've watched that play several times. Several times I've watched that play, and I come back to the same conclusion each time. There were three block in the backs that were not called, and Dante Pettis takes it back 58 yards because of those blocks in the back. It's obvious. At the same time, the Utes had a lead in this game. Third quarter, you're up 17-14. After Wilson catches the pass from Troy Williams with about 8 minutes to play in the third quarter, if I remember correctly. It's unfortunate that Utah loses because of some special team plays, but the Utes are still fine. And if you didn't view Utah as a legitimate contender to get into the postseason, then that game on Saturday was more important to Washington. I thought Utah was a legitimate contender if they could beat Washington. I thought they had a legitimate chance. Looking at it now, Utah is in second place in the Pac-12 at 4-2. Arizona State suffered a loss. At this point, that really doesn't matter because Utah has the tiebreaker over USC, so the Utes still control their own destiny. Colorado is at the top of the Pac-12 South at 4-1. But Utah plays Colorado, and assuming that the Utes handle their business against Arizona State, which they should, and let's assume they handle their business again against Oregon, which they should, the season finale is to get to the Pac-12 South championship game for the Pac-12 South. So the Utes have a lot of meaningful football still ahead. If the goal at the beginning of the season was to win the Pac-12, that goal is still in sight. Here's Coach Kyle Whittingham following the loss on Saturday. He talked a little bit about some of the mishaps.
That was a battle out there today. You know, number four Washington came into our home, and it was just a close game. Our guys gave a great effort. What are your thoughts on Washington? I mean, what makes them as good as they are, in your opinion?
Well, they're a solid football team in all three phases. They play well in special teams, on offense, on defense. They got a quarterback who's very good. Running back who's very good, a couple receivers, solid on defense, good scheme, good players. And so really they're just very balanced, very fundamentally sound, technique sound, and a good football team. But we stood there toe-to-toe with them. They slugged it out, and they made one more play than we did.
We certainly did. We stuck it out with them. When was it that you feel, or what play was it that kind of pushed us over the top, or that we lost control? Because I felt like during most of the game, and especially the second half, it was toe-to-toe.
Yeah, I don't know that we ever lost control, but obviously the backbreaker was the punt return didn't do us any good, and that really was the difference in the game. And although if you look at it, maybe they, if they get tackled there and, milk the clock and kick a field goal at the end to win, I mean, maybe our best chance to win is getting the ball right back with a chance, with 3:30 left. So, I don't know. It's tough to say, but that certainly was disappointing because our punt team had performed so well all afternoon long. And we were backed up. I think we're on our own 2-yard line and having to punt out of our own end zone. But still, we got to make plays. And the kid's a really good returner. And he showed it on that play.
And last question from me. This is our second loss, and the first loss, our team, they were super resilient. They came back. They were fighting. Do you feel like it's going to be the same reaction this time and just to achieve our final goals?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, these guys, we control our own destiny. I mean, that's the bottom line. Win or lose this game, we still had to win out, essentially, in the South, because that's, in my opinion, what it's going to come down to. And so this game really doesn't derail anything as far as getting to the championship game in San Francisco. We still got to take care of business. It's a three-game season now. Starts in about 11 days at ASU on that Thursday nighter. And then come home from Oregon, and then go to Colorado, and that's what it's boiled down to, is a three-game season. And right now we feel we're in pretty good shape. I mean, we're going into week 10, and our goal is still right there in front of us.
All right, Coach. Well, thank you for your time. I'm going to send it up to Bill and Frank. They're going to ask you a few questions.
Thank you, Bo. Bill Riley, Frank Dolce upstairs. Kelly Carden post-game interview. Your Utah DUI defense attorney with head coach Kyle Whittingham. Kyle, you mentioned the punt, and I don't know if you've seen it back again, but it is what it is because the touchdown counted, but there appeared to be a number of perhaps missed calls on that punt. Did you see it?
Yeah, somebody showed it to me, and I did see it. And disappointing, you know, sometimes you miss one, but two, but three, you know, I don't know. It's just how it is. I never whine about the refs. You know, they're doing their job, and we had a chance to make the play before it even got to those blocks, and we didn't make it.
It's hard to point to one particular thing. Obviously, we're going to look at that play. But if I'm looking at this game overall, I thought it was a great effort on our side, no question. But you know, missed tackles, maybe too many big plays on the defensive side, and a passing game that didn't kind of rev up until the second half. It seemed like a combination of just a few too many mistakes in this one to overcome.
Yeah, a few too many. But, I mean, the pass defense was outstanding compared to what they usually do. Yeah. 12 of 20 for 185 yards and a pick. I mean, that's... You don't win a lot of games with those numbers. And so I thought our defense really did a pretty good job overall. And they held them to, what, 385 and 31 points, actually 24 points, because the 7 points was on special teams. That's far, far below what Washington's been averaging. And so I thought even though there was, it wasn't perfect, there was missed tackles, there was some big plays given up. But when you play good teams, that's going to happen. You're not going to play the number four team in the country and not miss some tackles and not give up a few big plays.
It's nitpicky, I know, Kyle, but could you guys have done more with the run game, do you think, today?
We rushed for over 200 yards, and Joe was nearly 200 yards, and I don't think that was our issue. I think we needed to be a little more productive and efficient throwing the football. We were under 50% completion and really didn't get enough generated there.
Well, I was just going to ask you about the passing game. Now it's 3 weeks in a row that you're 50% or below in your completions, and I know you'd like to be up closer to that 60, 65% mark. I'm a big fan of Troy Williams. I like the way he plays, but what do we need to do to get that efficiency back in the passing game?
Well, maybe a little more quick game, give him some throws that are a little more high percentage, and we do that with the RPOs, the run-pass option plays, but maybe it's just some pure three-step stuff and get him a few more completions that way, but he's competing, he's preparing, he's doing everything right, as far as his... getting himself ready to play. We just got to make a few more plays.
Again, Coach Kyle Whittingham addressing the media with the Utah Sports Radio Network following the loss on Saturday. Again, you look at the conference standings, it's right there for the taking for Utah still in the South. And that was the realistic goal for this team at the beginning of the season. I thought it would come down to Utah and UCLA. UCLA's now 1-4 in conference play. UCLA might not even be bowl eligible. USC, they get better and better each week. They've won four straight since losing to Utah. Colorado is the team to watch. That's the team that I can't believe that there's a possibility that the Pac-12 championship game will feature Washington State in Colorado. That's a very real possibility at this point in time. The Huskies have not clinched the Pac-12 North at all. Yeah, they're number four in the country. But you look at their final four games of the season, Cal, USC, Arizona State, and Washington State, who is now number 25. Washington has not clinched anything yet. Pac-12 is going to be a lot of fun here over the next month. Also, catching up with the Utah Sports Radio Network, it was Utah Ute quarterback Troy Williams. I was really pulling for Utah in this game because of Troy Williams. That's a good kid. He's a leader. He finished 14 of 31 for 163 yards, two touchdowns. Not extremely efficient, but he did run the ball for 30 yards as well. He didn't turn the ball over. And that was key for Troy Williams. Did fumble once, but he didn't lose it. So he didn't turn the football over. Probably could have been a little bit more efficient through the air. His former team in Washington, remember, he was a transfer from Washington. He caught up with Bo Nogany, Bill Riley, and Frank Dolce to talk about playing against his former team.
You know, I was down there on the sideline, and I heard a lot. I mean, they were smacking a lot. And how did you take it? I mean, obviously, you know some of these guys, but were you just brushing it off, or is it something that you kind of want to get right back at them?
I had a couple words for them too, but you know, at the end of the day, you know, it's not personal at all. We've been talking about this game for 2 years now, so it's all fun at the end of the day. You know, I'm glad they came out ready. You know, I'm glad they were talking to me. You know, I told them before the game, man, I hope y'all talking mess, because I'm going to say a couple things myself. So at the end of the day, it's all fun, and, you know, it'll be good to reflect on later down the road.
Absolutely, and that's a great way to look at it. Last question from me is, we saw you run a little bit more today. How do you like that? Is that something that you would like to see more of, or do you kind of want to just stay throwing the ball?
I run when I need to. I feel like, you know, I might need to start running a little bit more, you know, towards down the season, but become more of a threat. But, you know, I take off when I have to, you know, but I love throwing the ball. I had a couple runs today, but, you know, I'm going to continue to try to work on that and just try to take it one play at a time.
Right. Well, good job tonight. Sorry for the loss, but I think the rest of the season, I mean, will speak for itself, right? We'll just have to get after it. I'm going to send it up to Bill and Frank. They'll ask you a few questions.
Well, thank you, Bill Riley. Frank Dolce upstairs. Utah quarterback Troy Williams downstairs. What changed at halftime for you, Troy? Your numbers were markedly different, and you looked a lot more comfortable in that second half.
I just felt like, you know, I needed to settle down a little bit more. It was a lot of emotions in that first half, but nothing really changed. I just, you know, took it one play at a time, continued to stay level-headed, and, you know, things start opening up. The run game was going great. Joe did a great job. The O-line did a great job the whole game. So I feel like once the run game started going a little bit, they had to, you know, soften up and respect the pass a little bit.
It felt like, you know, last week was pretty rough under the pass rush at UCLA. It felt like the offensive line cleaned that up a little bit today. Did you feel like you had some time to work in the pocket?
Yeah, I had a lot of time to work in the pocket today. I felt like, besides a couple plays, you know, maybe a couple knockdowns or something like that. But, you know, overall, I feel like the O-line did a great job giving me time to drop back and throw the ball. You know, they have a great defense over there, a lot of great playmakers. So, you know, we have to give credit to them. But, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing them in the championship game.
Again, Troy Williams, post-game wrap-up show, talking about Utah's 31-24 loss to Washington. Now, the Utes will have this next week off, and that's a good thing. They can prepare for Arizona State. That game will be on Thursday, November the 10th. Then they're back at it on November 19th against Oregon, and then the 26th against Colorado, and that's how they wrap up the season. We're going to pause for just a moment. We have more Drive Time Sports coming up right after this.
Now Young with two. Let's it fly. It's good! Nick Young for three!
What's up, this is Nick Young, Swaggy P, and you're listening to Drive Time Sports on AM 750.
At some point today, I was going to throw in some spooky music or something to come back to. Yeah, not going to do that. I'm into Christmas. I don't care much for Halloween. I'll tell you what is spooky, though. Some of the things that players tell other players out on the field. Like, don't let the quarterback tag fool you as far as trash talk. Phillip Rivers is an excellent trash talker, and he's put together an historical season. This guy's always talking smack, always. Derek Wolfe, defensive end for the Denver Broncos, he might have crossed the line a little bit. He went Mike Tyson on Phillip Rivers. If you don't know what I'm talking about, take a listen to this. This was Derek Wolfe following the Broncos-Chargers game, which, of course, the Broncos won.
After I told him I was going to eat his kids, he never said another word. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's crossing the line a little bit. Mike Tyson said that to Lennox Lewis. Lennox Lewis responded with, "I don't even have kids." Phillip Rivers, I think Phillip Rivers does have kids, doesn't he? Doish. NFL Week 8 comes to a close tonight. We get Minnesota and Chicago. I think somebody's going to get eaten tonight, but it's not going to be anyone outside of Jay Cutler. I don't see any way, shape, or form this is an entertaining game tonight on Halloween. None. Vikings are looking to bounce back from their first loss. Meanwhile, Chicago only has one win. The way some Viking players see it, last week's loss against Philadelphia is probably what they need to get back and be sharp for this game. And now you have the rumors floating around that Adrian Peterson may be back in about a month. I still like the Vikings. This defense is so much fun to watch. They are so, so good. And the Bears they're not very good. Outside of Alshon Jeffrey, you don't have anybody that's a consistent contributor. Jay Cutler is back in the mix, first time in six games. He's been sidelined since week two. He sprained some ligaments in his thumb. He healed in time. He's got the starting job back from Brian Hoyer. He broke his left arm last week against Green Bay. He's on the injured reserve. And so tonight's the Jay Cutler Show, and I think he's going to get quite the welcome back. Jeremy Langford could return from a sprained ankle as well. If that's the case, basically Kadeem Carey and Jordan Howard would see a decrease in snaps. It's just been a bad year for the Chicago Bears. There's really no way around it. Kickoff of that game tonight is set for 6:30, again, Minnesota at Chicago. We went over the schedule as far as the NBA tonight. Again, the Jazz will return to the court tomorrow and, of course, return here on KOL tomorrow night as well. Before we end this particular segment, the Duke Blue Devils will be the team to beat, according to the college basketball preseason polls. Big surprise, right? Duke, the number one team in the country. Kentucky, 2. Kansas, 3. Villanova, 4. So you're defending champs all the way down at number 4. Oregon, number 5. 6 through 10, North Carolina, Xavier, Virginia, Wisconsin, Arizona. 11 through 15, Indiana, Michigan State, Louisville, Gonzaga, Purdue. 16 through 20, UCLA, St. Mary's, UConn, Syracuse, West Virginia, and then 20 through 25, West Virginia, Texas, Creighton, Rhode Island, Iowa State, and Maryland. There's your AP Top 25 preseason college basketball pool. We are out of time. I want to thank you again for always joining me here on these afternoon drives. I always look forward to it. Have a very happy and safe Halloween, and we will catch you tomorrow. I want to thank Coach Mando for taking out the time to join us on the show. Tomorrow, we'll catch up with USU Eastern Soccer Coach Ammon Bennett. He'll join us to put the final touches on the soccer season. Have a safe Halloween. We will catch you tomorrow. I am out.